It's Mike Ditka in Chicago. Coach, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
All right. Let's start with Manu Ginobili, the guy whose hairline resembles mine.
I attack better, get to the free throw line a little bit more, and that, you know, those things combined got me going.
And then LeBron James.
The most important game is game six, and we can't worry about a game seven. We have to worry about game six and going back home, being confident about, you know, our game, being confident about, you know, getting a win, which we are. So, you know, it is what it is, and, you know, we got a game six on our home floor.
Well, it's only one more to go. Mike, I'm still trying to figure out who Danny Green is. What?
He's at Danny Green was a great college player.
Where did he play?
North Carolina.
I'm out of the loop. I missed that one.
And he was a great college player. I'll tell you what, those three-pointers, I mean, he's pretty good at that now.
Wow.
I guess.
He's had more three-pointers, Johnny, than Ray Allen, who had the record before him. I think there's 32 threes. Wow!
That's in the finals, and there could be two games left. Yeah. They can't, you know, Mike, he's getting pretty open. He's getting some pretty good looks.
Well, the ball movement, I think a lot of it, you know, Parker has a lot to do with it, and the way they move that ball around them. It was a different thing last night. Ginobili seemed to be the guy that they went to more, but Parker does such a great job. I mean, he penetrates and then kicks the ball out, and then Danny Green's out there for the three.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, too, you look at Manny Ginobili, and they basically, you know, our great experts were writing him off, and he wasn't playing very well. So Popovich starts him for the first time this year, and he goes crazy. I mean, he completely took the game over, and that guy, Mike, has some heart. You can see it.
He has a lot of heart, and I think it's a great move by the coach, too. I mean, he must have a pretty good feel for, you know, the pulse of his players.
He's just doing a great job, because I really think that he'd have the talent, although I don't know. It's a great...
You know what? You hope San Antonio wins, but you think the Heat's going to win.
That's right.
I know. That's 90% of the country.
Why is that? Why is that kind of an anti-Miami Heat? I don't understand, but it's true.
It's just because
I'm not sure what it is either. I mean, they're all good guys, and they play good, and they're great talents, and they got a good coach, and I don't know. It just seems that they seem to be like the bad guy for some reason, and really they're not, but that seems to be the appearance.
I think it's that PR when they got together, it was kind of stacking the deck.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Anybody could win. Now they'll win to next 10 games. So the underdog is the American favorite, regardless of who it is. And San Antonio is kind of in an underdog position, so I think most people are kind of pulling for him.
Yeah.
So, I like LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, and I like watching the game. No. I can't tell you who's going to win it, that's for sure.
Well, because San Antonio, I mean, you don't know if they can go one more time with an outstanding effort, because certainly at home, Miami's going to be favored to win, too.
You know, we all played basketball, guys, and what these guys are doing has no resemblance to what we did. I mean, it's incredible how good these guys are.
It
really is what great athletes they are.
Yeah.
I say that all the time. I look at the golf, I say the same thing. It's incredible with the talent and where it's come to in sports. I mean, it really has.
Well, and Miami can get inside still, Mike. They missed a lot of in-close baskets last night, which they may not miss next game. I figure it'll go seven. But San Antonio can win this. There's no doubt they could win a game. Absolutely none.
Well, all right, let's go to politics, the G8 summit.
The president's heading to the G8 summit. He'll meet with British Prime Minister David Cameron before the two-day gathering of world leaders officially begins at a golf resort in Northern Ireland. The agenda is focused on the economy and a possible trade pact between the US and the EU. But the civil war in Syria is also likely to be a key talking point. The president will have a one-on-one meeting with Russia's President Vladimir Putin later. Putin remains the top ally of Syria's President Assad. In Sligo, Ireland, Simon Owen, Fox News Radio.
Johnny, what happens is these G8 summits, anything at all?
Well, there you go. That summed up some of the things, like this Putin meeting with Obama could be interesting, because we're helping Syria now, and of course the Russians have been supporting Assad, who's not a great guy. Anyway, I guess you have rapport between the countries. You know, it's always good when we're talking. I don't know the details, but It's a good political event, I'm sure. I'm for it.
Hey, Mike, I'm sure they're nice hotels, good food and all that.
What, Northern Ireland?
Yeah.
good golf courses.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, listen, the Russian President Vladimir Putin, Johnny, says, hey, you're going to arm these rebels. Do you know who they are? They're cannibals, and some are Al-Qaeda. I mean, do we know what we're doing here?
No. No, that is the most asinine thing in the world. And that is the stupidity of this administration to make that comment. You may not like the Syrian regime. They may not be what you want. They may not be the right thing. But the rebels certainly aren't. I mean, my God, you don't know what you're getting. You're opening a true can of worms when you do that.
On the other hand, the other side of the story is that Assad's killing his own people. It's the human rights violation thing is how long do you stand aside and not try to help somebody protect themselves? It's a bad situation. And, you know, maybe we should have helped somebody who we knew who they were earlier.
I'm going to say one thing, and I'm sure Assad is doing that. I think what you said is true. He is human rights violation. When we send a drone up and we kill innocent people, is that a human rights violation?
Well, if it's innocent people, it is.
Well, I just say, you know, it depends on how you want to look at things. Now, what they're doing over there is totally wrong, and sir, there's no question about it. But you're going to say, I'm going to arm the rebels? Who the hell are the rebels?
No, we don't know that. I think there's a Ted Cruz, a senator of Texas, says there's a faction within that, and there's going to be a lot of factions, that is Al-Qaeda. That'd be like giving arms to Al-Qaeda. It doesn't make any sense there. But if you're standing by and you're watching him use chemical weapons on people, what can we do and what should we do? I mean, it's a tough, tough situation.
Well, maybe they will talk about
that. There's not a lot you can do. That's the problem.
That is an issue. What can you do?
Yeah.
And we look at Egypt as an example. Everybody's happy Mubarak's gone, but,
yeah.
Boy, I don't know.
Yeah, as Mike Ditka famously said in 2008, he says he wants to change. Change to what?
Yeah.
From what to what? That's what Mike said. I'll never forget the quote. He wants to change. Change from what to what?
What? Yeah. And we've had that. And we will change. Yeah. We want change. And we got change, all right.
Yeah, right.
Not very good.
Yeah.
That's all we got. We got no dollars.
All right.
We got change.
Immigration.
Some Democrats say they should be able to pass immigration reform by the 4th of July. But Senator Marco Rubio on ABC's This Week warning he and fellow Republicans are going to call for tighter border security.
I think 95-96% of the bill is in perfect shape and ready to go, but there are elements that need to be improved.
While Democratic Senator Bob Menendez is concerned that the GOP may block the path to citizenship for illegal aliens.
There are critics of our bill in which 10 angels could come swearing from above that this is the best legislation for America, and they would say the angels lie.
Menendez on CNN State of the Union. In Washington, Jill Nato, Fox News Radio.
I guess one of the big issues, Johnny, is they don't want to secure the border till after they sign the bill.
Well, and that's, they're not going to secure it. And it's the same old thing. You don't really trust the Democrats in some of their big movements because I don't know if they're staying true to some of the tenets of the Constitution. Citizenship is a very valuable thing. I don't have a problem with the things they're talking about doing, but they do need to secure the border, Mike, because obviously not only people will keep coming to America, because I would if I could get through, but there'll be even more people come because you get citizenship eventually. All you have to do is cross the border. It's worth the effort, and you got to stop that, which we can do, and I agree that's a key point. And as far as doing it after they pass the bill, no, they won't. Do you actually have 1% belief that they'll do it after they pass the bill? They don't ever do anything they say, ever. That's my bad attitude, but
no, listen, you're based on fact, is it not?
On track record.
Yeah, fact and track record. Mike?
Well, I think what John said is right. I mean, what do they ever do after the fact when they don't have to do it? When they get the thing passed, they never come back in the second phase and say, okay, we're going to take care of this. They just let it go the way it goes. I mean, I 10 angels for, I mean, that's the most asinine thing I've heard. I mean, these guys, I mean, if you're going to be prolific, I mean, learn what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. And they call themselves the leaders of America. These are the people that we're supposed to look up to, who are leaders as politicians. They're half of them are crooks.
Yeah, and that didn't make any sense.
What else you want to know?
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. And then we've got, of course, the IRS scandal. You got Obamacare kicking in. there are some things that are all kind of coming together, Johnny, at the wrong time.
Well, it's the wrong, because it's all the wrong stuff. When you do all the wrong things, it's all going to come together, and it's not going to be a good time because it's not going to work. A lot of the things they're doing, people are upset about. A lot of things they're doing won't work. And we need some action, and we need some things that are effective. And so, and then we're worried about Obamacare, I think. Nobody still really has a clue how it's going to affect them.
Yeah, right.
But it's, I don't see how it can get any better until you start acting more rationally.
Yeah. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, ESPN 93.5, the new Sunny 95.3. When we come back, will the NFL survive? And, of course, the U.S. Open. That's next. We are back, Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka. It's ESPN 93.5, the new Sunny 95.3 at 7:48 Monday morning. Lim Barney, I think, played for the Detroit Lions and had made this comment, Mike, that said that the NFL is getting too violent and won't survive after 20 years from now. He said in the next 20 years, it'll probably be gone. He's later apologized for those comments, but he says if you like gladiators, that's what it's become. It's just becoming too dangerous.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with the comment, but it's not true. I mean, the NFL will be there as long as there's a way for people to make money, and you know, it's going to be there. It'll always be there. Sports will always be there. But whether it's safe or not, that's just part of it. There's a part of risk involved in everything, and Lem knows that as well as I do. When you play the game, there's a risk, you know, and you have a chance of getting hurt, and you have a chance of getting seriously hurt. But then people weigh that against the amount of money they make when they're playing the game, and they really don't think about the consequences down the line. And that's what happened to a lot of these old guys.
But I do think that these last couple of years, which is frustrating sometimes to the fans, some of the things they've done have really reduced some of the really serious injury opportunities with the talent stuff.
Yeah, yes, John, they had it, but you can't legislate hitting out of football. But here's the problem. Part of the problem is the equipment. The helmet has become a weapon. Now, guys, I don't know. You can change it. I'm not saying what you can do. You got a face mask on it. You got the big helmet. People feel invincible when they put the helmet on, so therefore they're willing to strike with their head. Now, if that helmet was not the way it was, it was the same kind of helmet I wore when I played, it'd be a hell of a lot of difference, I'll tell you that. You wouldn't be sticking your head in there or your face in there if you didn't have a face mask on it.
And that's where the really serious injuries are. There's no doubt. That's why they're trying to legislate hitting. And that's very physically very hard to do, especially with the running back. Stevie, you were talking about how are you going to keep a running back from lowering his head.
Yeah, right. And they do it all the time. But if you took the face mask off, Mike, wouldn't that take some of the hitting away?
Well, I just think, you know, guys, when you have no fear of putting your head in there,
yeah,
and when you put that helmet on in that big cage, you have no fear striking
mm-hmm.
with that helmet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're that strong, and that's what happened. So when you have two guys moving at a high rate of speed, and these helmets are wearing them both the same, with the face, when they collide with their helmets, man, something's got to give. I mean, it's one heck of a violent collision.
And Johnny,
can you change it? Yeah, change it. Take the face mask off.
With that kind of helmet, too, you can't take off the face mask. You'll be killing guys everywhere.
You have to make it a little softer, like the old days.
It's
also has to be physics too, Johnny. Faster, bigger, stronger. The speed has just gone way up.
I think the speed's gone up. I don't know about way up, but it's 1/2 mv squared. Velocity is squared. So every little bit it goes up, you add a lot of energy.
One mv squared, Mike? Did you follow?
One half mv.
You've got to put one thing in there. You got to put mass in there because people
mass,
are
one
bigger.
Half MV,
that's
bigger.
The problem. Yeah. The speed, I don't know. I mean, I know guys ran fast back in the 60s and 70s, and you know, but I'm saying the athlete today is so differently conditioned that I think when you look at the body shape and you look at the movement of it, and then when you have that high rate of speed with that mass colliding, man, something's got to give.
Well, that's right. Yep. That is right.
All right, the U.S. Open.
Justin Rose is a U.S. Open champion at Marion.
I'm bummed for Mickelson, Johnny. Wow.
Well, and so Mike and I were talking. I think everybody was pulling for him. That's his sixth in the U.S. Open. Sixth time he's gotten second. And look, this time he had so many shots at him. And played great. He was hitting great, Mike. He was doing everything he needed to do.
The Putz guy said he could have won that thing by six shots if any of those.
He could have.
Putts fall, but none of them fail. But that's the game of golf.
Yeah.
You know, then he comes back and makes the eagle. I mean, but it's the game of golf. You know, if every shot of everybody hit a good putt, if every one of them went in, you know, Tiger would have been 13 over. I mean, I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
It's just the game of golf.
And Steve, what about Justin Rose the last four or five holes?
Wow. Wow.
That was a machine. That was a great performance.
Unbelievable. I mean, you know the nerves are there. The guys would love to win the U.S. Open. You could see Phil really into it. Steve Stricker hits two balls out in the same hole. And, it happens to everybody. But you know that Steve Stricker had never had an eight in his professional career?
Well, I'm just telling you.
Amazing.
Before yesterday, I watched guys hit shots I couldn't believe. Westwood hit two into the bleachers.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
these guys are great golfers.
Sergio hit three out of bounds one hole.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
What? What? Are you kidding me? These guys.
It's not that hard, Steve. I know.
I've done it plenty of times, but these guys. I mean, come on. It is amazing how talented they are, but how the U.S. Open is just always so entertaining because even these guys struggle a big, big way. Big way.
Well, and nobody broke par, so there you go.
The winner of the tournament was the golf course. I mean, I've heard all the things. Well, it's too short and that. The winner was the golf course.
But how do you play a 530-yard finishing hole and you can't miss and the fairway's this big? I mean, man, that's just
hard.
It's just crazy. You played that before, haven't you, Mike, Marion?
I really played it years ago. I played it a couple times, actually.
Yeah.
And the thing I remember. Yeah, it's unusual because you have the real short par three, then you have the real long par three. But that, you know, that course, I don't know if it played for amateurs at 530-yard par four. That was a par five when I played it. I remember that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, on that hole yesterday, Mickelson had to get a birdie, and he was 230 yards out in the rough. And I'll tell you what, he hit a good 200-yard shot with a cut. It was perfect, but he just didn't get it.
You're a little short. Yeah.
Well, all right. So, you know, Tiger Woods, it's just not happening right now for him at the majors.
He'll be back. He's still in the mix. But how'd he end up?
He was plus 13.
Let me tell you what. Tiger Woods is still, you know, to me, what looks like left him a little bit is his putting to me.
Yeah, right.
You know, he was always a guy, boy, he just zero in and back. But, you know, and that's the same thing. When you look at these guys, I think the guy coming down like Rose, don't make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do something stupid. Take what the course gives you. And that's what he did.
Well, I'll tell you, the putting thing, it comes and goes, too. So one day he can start putting. And I'll tell you, one of the best golfers who's ever played, bar none, was Tom Watson. And he hit about a 10-year span. Stevie could not putt.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he would have won a bunch more tournaments.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But then, too, it'll come back. So that's just the kind of the closing part of the game. And, yeah, of course, it's the guy with the putter that ends up winning. First you have to get it to where the putt matters. That's what I've been working on.
Well, listen, Janet, my wife's birthday is tomorrow, Johnny, and she requested going to Mike Ditka. So we're going to meet Coach up there tomorrow night.
That's fantastic. And Coach, my Janet's birthday is the Philo zip code. We said that before. 61864.
Unbelievable. What's the odds my wife's birthday is Philo, the center of the universe's zip code? Are you kidding me? That's crazy. Anyway.
What is that all about?
It just happened to match up where her birthday.
61864 is June 18th, 1964.
And that's Philo's zip code that matched my hometown with my wife's birthday. Come on!
There's something going to happen.
I'm telling you what, something big's going to happen. That's
you're going to win your lottery or something.
Yeah, unbelievable. Listen, Coach, we'll see you tomorrow night, then. I'll be there at 6:30. But we're looking forward to that. Johnny and Mike, thank you so much. We'll call
all
you
right,
both
guys,
on Friday.
Take care. God bless you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. Talk to you later. That's Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, here on the radio, ESPN 93.5, the new Sunday 95.3.